Hello there, podcast aficionados. Welcome to the Credo Cast, where I, John Doherty, the founder of Credo, speak with marketing agency owners and consultants, as well as the occasional entrepreneur, of course, to dissect how they got started, what they wish they had done differently in building their business and career, and more. Really quick, what is Credo? Credo, getcredo.com, is a marketplace that connects businesses looking to grow their business with the right digital marketing agency or consultant for them. This is based off of their budget, types of services needed, and more. Finding an agency or consultant is hard, so Credo exists to make that easier. I saw my friends who own small businesses themselves hiring bad agencies or consultants and then having to spend even more money to fix those problems. So I started Credo. Every agency or consultant on the platform is vetted to the highest quality, so you can be sure that you're getting the best in the industry. So if you're a business looking to hire an agency or a consultant, or if you're an agency or consultant looking to get more clients, visit getcredo.com today to get started. I should also mention one of my favorite tools that I use to run my business as a solo entrepreneur. It's called Bench, bench.co. They take care of my bookkeeping for me. It's not often that someone raves about bookkeeping, but I actually look forward to my quarterly catch-ups with my bookkeeper. Bench is doing it right, and they make my life as a solo entrepreneur easier. So if you go to getcredo.com/bench, that's getcredo.com/bench, and sign up from there, you'll get your first month free. All right, on to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back once again to the CredoCast Season 2, where I, John Doherty, the founder of Credo, take the time to chat with agency founders and other entrepreneurs about how they're growing their business, mostly services businesses, how they're getting new clients, how they kind of got their start. So today I'm super excited to have with me Sujan Patel of Web Profits. Web Profits is an agency that started in Australia, and Sujan is based in Austin, so he's running the US branch. He's also been a longtime entrepreneur, built an agency before, exited from that, has a number of SaaS businesses on the side as well that we may talk about a little bit. But Sujan, welcome to the show. Super happy to have you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what keeps you busy these days?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me. Great to chat with you. I know we always chat kind of offline, so I'm excited to have this more public conversation. I've been doing digital marketing for 13 years, and I've kind of had this, I don't know if it's a unique background, but a different background where I've worked half my career in-house as a head of marketing, head of SEO, leading and managing teams, and the other half on the agency side. And so my mantra has always been like, put those two worlds together, and I kind of understand both sides' pain points. And so I did that first with my first agency, worked well. And then now when I sold my first agency, I was like, I am never doing consulting again. And 2 years later, I am back at it. And I found I love it, actually.
So you missed it.
Yeah, you know what? You know, it wasn't even missing it. It just kept coming to me, coming back to me. I was like trying not to do it. I would get inquiries and whatnot, and I would just, you know, pass them off. And over time, I just kind of like, oh, that's an interesting project. And sometimes I would just throw out, you know, I was really busy. I had a full-time job, and I was working on a few like SaaS products. And so I would just throw out high amounts, and people said yes. And I just kept making it higher and higher, and people kept saying yes. And so I was like, well, I guess I have to do this now. But, it's a great problem to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Too much business is better than no business. Those are good problems, growth problems, I call them, which is fantastic. So let's take it back. I definitely want to talk about Web Profits and, you know, what you're doing now. But let's take it back to the beginning and talk about your own story. So tell me a bit more about your entrepreneurial story. Have you always been an entrepreneur? Did you, you know, I think you just mentioned that you worked in-house for a little bit. Why did you decide to do your own thing?
Yeah, honestly, I've always had this like entrepreneurial like spirit ever since I was a kid, always like trying to figure out a way to hustle my way to make money. I was never really smart in school, and so like sitting there learning is the most boring thing ever. I also I dropped out of college, and so don't have a degree. So one of the big reasons I started my agency, and I couldn't get enough business to support my full-time income, and I was getting married or proposed to my now wife at the time. And so I was like, crap, I gotta get a job. And so I kind of worked my way up from, being a marketing kind of monkey, I would say, like just doing anything and everything, to the top and being kind of a director level. And I realized like, okay, there's not much more for me to go up. And the more I go up, it's like the salary cap is pretty, not low, but like to me, I was like, that's not enough. I want more. And so for me, in order to make more it was logically like I was like, I kind of have to do my own thing.
Gotcha. So for you, it was really, it sounds like a lot of it was about the money, that there wasn't a, that when you're an entrepreneur, there isn't a ceiling of how much you can make. You don't have to ask anyone for a raise or that sort of thing, especially, running your own agency or running your own SaaS product. You put the effort in and you can make more money, and that money just keeps on, keeps on building versus working for someone else. Was there anything there around, sorry, go ahead. I
Yeah, I
interrupted
was
you.
just gonna say the freedom, the doing what I want or doing what I think is right or and what is right ultimately, and not having kind of restrictions and whatnot. I would always be the guy at an organization that's like, oh, we need to do stuff. I would go crank for a couple of days and like, it's done. And my boss would like, I was expecting that next month. They're like, well, it's done now. What's next? Let's go do the next thing. And like I was always just like going at my pace, which is more is much faster than most organizations work. And so I'd just be twiddling my thumbs for a long time, and just that gets really boring. There's only so much you can go on Reddit.
Yeah, that's totally true. And if they track your browser history, then you might get called into a meeting saying you've been playing on the internet too much. Yeah, I had that happen in my first job. Super funny.
Oh wow, that's
It actually
interesting.
ended up being a ticker that I had installed to keep me up with new gear that was coming up. So it was a Chrome extension that would tell me when a new, backpack was for sale on Steep and Cheap. But every time it registered a new web page hit, so it looked like I was playing on the internet 80% of the time, when really I was working, 90% of the time. But that's neither here nor there. So you said that you tried to start your first agency and it failed, and you're getting engaged and then going, and then you went back in house because you basically said, okay, I have to make money. So how did you start getting your first clients to then eventually go out and do your own thing again? What skills did you have to learn? And how did you basically get to the point where you said, all right, I'm going all in on doing my own thing again. I've wanted to do it, and now's the time.
Yeah, so getting clients, look, I've tried to do like advertising and then like what agencies do for companies, right? Like SEO, PPC, content marketing, and all that stuff. And that was great, but like that works if you have an established business and you have a brand and all the other stuff, and or a big budget, and you can afford even on LinkedIn. Like I remember back in 09 or 2010, between 09 and 13, we were doing a ton of LinkedIn advertising. We were spending five, 10K a month and like
Wow.
five, $10 a click. Like it was really expensive, but it generated good results because, contract value for our agency at the time was probably around like 60 to 100K annual contract value. And so it was worth it. But anyways, going back to your question, look, it was just building up my network, right? Building up like my credibility, having some success under my belt. And I used my in-house stuff, and then like I got one or two small clients, got really like nailed it out of the park for them. I did a lot of free work, and that helped me a lot. Free and kind of low price. And so like I remember I worked on KitchenAid, a popular consumer brand. And I mean, I got paid like $300 for that deal. Like, and it was like $700 for 3 months. And it was, I guess that's less than 300, but it was like very, very low price because it was like subcontracted. But I put it in my agreement that like I want to be able to mention the brand. And so now I have KitchenAid. And
Very
so,
smart.
it was getting logos, getting relation, building relationships, and building credibility. So those are the three critical things for early success. And I decided to do an agency because I actually, when I left my day job, I convinced them they had laid off some of the SEO departments. So I used this as a move to convince them to outsource the whole SEO department to me, my new agency. And I made this big case about like how much they could save and what they can get. They were, we were spending like probably 20, 30K on a team, They had already laid them off or laid off most of the team. And so I was like, hey, if you spend like 15, 20K with me, I'll do all of it. I'll replace all of your vendor costs, everything. And like, cool thing is, you don't like the work, then you could downgrade the engagement or fire me. And so I got them to commit to a year contract with me, to be, they're my first client. And so I looked at this as like, okay, cool. I have 1 year to start something. I have a good income. And if it doesn't work, okay, well, I can always go get another job in a year.
Totally. So let me ask this question. You got them to keep you on as a consultant. They had the freedom to, let you go at any point to end the engagement, right? Which is a lot easier than firing someone. Did you actually end up making more in that first year out on your own than you did working full time for them?
No,
No, you
we
didn't.
pro I probably matched about like 80% of what I made from them.
Okay.
But then I knew the contract was not going to renew. So my goal was, how do I get sustainability with by the time this contract ends? I was hopeful that the contract would renew, but I had planned for it not renewing. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, it was just, it was, I think, my first year. This was 2009, so I started in March. So my first year, not even a full year, I ended up with like net like revenue was about 250, almost 150 or 170 of that came from the job turning into consulting, and then the rest came from other deals I brought in. But I ended the year pacing at like my own business was going to be the driving factor.
Gotcha. Awesome. And so were you were the one fulfilling all that work, or did you have freelancers and such? When did you hire your first person?
Yeah, so immediately I hired my first person immediately.
Wow. Okay.
Actually, my first hire was Ross Hudgens.
No
He now
kidding.
has the awesome agency of his own, and it's awesome to work with him, kind of early days, fresh out of college and whatnot. So yeah, Ross was the first hire. We ended up hiring during that time. We moved to SF. Ross We ended up moving Ross over to SF for a bit, and then
And he was mostly in Seattle, though, right?
no, he moved to
Okay.
Seattle after Single Grain.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually so the way we hire and grow is pretty unique. I still maintain this kind of mantra is, I want to hire people. So first of all, like, I've tried hiring lots of experienced people and they all suck. Like, they just don't fit what I'm trying to do. Whether they're good or bad, they just don't fit. And what I mean is, like, experienced people, like, managers, directors, and above, they're good, but they don't fit like what we do ever. Like, it's not a one-to-one fit. So I've always trained people. And so the mantra there is like, we will hire you, we'll train you and everything. It's going to be a lot of hard work. We're going to push back. We're going to push you as hard as you want to be pushed. So you have to really want it. And we at Single Grain, we end up building, training up and building 22 people's careers. And they're all now like manager, director, and above at some pretty hot companies. Like Upwork, Zenefits, Autodesk, and they're all like running SEO or like marketing or PPC departments. And so that's one thing I'm really good at. That's like my skill set. And I learned this from my bosses before. And so with we did that with Ross. Like and the second employee, Jeff, like I was like, hey, look, there's gonna be a time you're gonna want to leave. And it's because you probably get offered more money, you feel like you've outgrown the position, and you probably have, but stick with this for like 2 to 3 years. Maybe longer, and you'll leave, and you could jump a couple steps. And so that was kind of our that's my pitch. I stand true to it, and I exit people on our terms, and we pace for that.
And so what you're effectively doing there is you're building like almost like an alumni network of awesome people that you know at awesome companies. You basically train them in your way, which obviously works, judging on your success. And
So now you have an awesome, group of people that, you've been very good to, and they've been very good to you, and it's a very good, like, symbiotic relationship, it sounds like.
And honestly, like, I remember, like, so I was Ross, like, Ross ended up referring, this was like early, when he, like maybe the year or two after he left, he ended up referring one or two deals. That revenue that we got, I think it was about 200K, like well made up for like any cost that we incurred paying him, right? So like this thing's just turn like, not that I was expecting that, but like things just start happening like that. And it's kind of, I don't know if you want to call it good karma, but it's this like ecosystem of let's just give as much value away. And a lot of this comes from, I always get when I talk to potential clients, and again, like my job and my marketing strategy is just like share everything I know and help people. Like those are the two things I do, and that's through networking and whatnot. And one of the most common questions I get asked is like, hey, do you know I'm hiring X? Do you know any good people? And guess what? If I have an agency and I'm training good people and I know someone's about to leave or like, ready to like kind of get to that next step, I might know somebody or like I try to help place people. And so it kind of helps both parties. The employee win, they get their career set. My friend or the person I'm trying to help, if there's a good alignment, they're happy, and so it's kind of a win-win situation. I'm happy because it's all, like my most gratifying like moments of business is not even the money. It's and I wouldn't even say it's client results. It's the team leveling up over and over and again, and that's what like motivates me to try to jump out of bed every morning.
Totally. And that's a very selfless thing right there as well. I don't often hear, entrepreneurs, CEOs, whatever you want to call them, basically, being selfless like that and saying like, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to teach you. And then, when the time comes, when you're ready to leave, A, like, let's have a conversation about it, right? Like, let's be upfront about it. There's nothing worse than someone coming to you and kind of catching you off guard and saying like, I'm leaving. And you're like, I had no clue, right? But then also helping them find something new is absolutely amazing. That's kudos to you for that.
Yeah, thanks. And honestly, when I was doing my first business agency, I didn't know this, right? Like this is all like hindsight, right? So it's great because I'm doing I'm running another agency. I have a couple other businesses, and so I'm taking all the stuff I know. Like before, it was like I'm doing all these things, and I didn't know that was the driving factor. Like I was out there, like I was doing that, what you mentioned, what we talked about, but also like a lot of other things. And so all combined, I didn't know where leads were coming from and like my sort exact sources. I was just doing a bunch of things. But now that I'm in it again, I'm very zen. I tell my wife, like, I'm doing probably 10x the amount of work I was doing, 3 years ago. And it's like 2-3x of what I was doing last year. But I feel the most calm because I have control in my mind of like, hey, how do you build a multi-million dollar agency? So at Webprofits, our goal is to build a $10 million annual revenue agency, right? We want to build a big ass agency. We know I've already experienced kind of growing a seven figure agency, getting in that mid seven figure range, and kind of the growing pains and whatnot. I put it this way, I've already experienced like what not to do and all the hard lessons, at least to that point. And now I have a badass team and support mechanisms where I'm weak and people that can help me also support me in my strengths so we don't face those same issues. Anyways, that's my long-winded like passion rant.
Yeah, totally. No, I love it. I mean, you're one of the more productive people. I mean, I think I'm productive. I think I publish a lot of stuff and people say, man, you're always publishing. But like, I look at what you're doing and I look where you're writing and I look at the, the things that you're able to get accomplished. I'm like, how do you have four SaaS businesses and you're helping to run and building a huge ass agency, as you said. You also have a ton of different hobbies, right? I know you race cars, at least you used to skydive. Yeah, and I was just wondering, like, how do you balance all of that at this point? Because I'm struggling to do it with like one consulting client, one marketplace that I run, and you're like 4x that, so.
So yeah, thank you, first of all. it, you know, I'm going to peel the, like, the sexy layer off of what I do. Look, it's hard freaking work.
Do you sleep?
Not much. Okay. I sleep maybe, I want to sleep. My biggest, like, weakness and what's played to my strength is, like, I have a tough time sleeping. And so I wake up early just naturally. Like, I'm talking, like, 6, 7, 8, like, well, it used to be 6, 7, or 7, 8 a.m. What, like, you know, in high school, that's early. Or, you know, early year, you know, in college, that's early. Now it's, like, more like 6, 7 o'clock. I'm, like, up, out of bed, like, ready to go. And so, like, I just got a lot of time before anyone else gets up and does stuff. And I don't have any kids. I'm married, but I don't have any kids. And my wife has a career of her own and where keeps her pretty busy. So she has to work late sometimes and whatnot. And so when she's working late, I'm working. And so, like, anytime there's downtime or a time for me to work, I'm working. I do work along. So I guess the short answer is it's just brute force work, right? Hours, time. But it's also saying no to a lot of things. And so with the SaaS businesses, you know, running, you know, it's actually now a total of 6 SaaS businesses. Wow. And one agency, but they all work, they all run as one organization. So I'm not running 6 businesses. I'm running one on that side. It's one software company. But what we do on that front is we say no to like 90% of things. I focus on 3 every week, every month. I focus on the big 3, the big 3 things that day, that week, that month that are going to move the needle. Bootstrap startup, I can't afford to work on anything else. I don't have the budget or the money or the resources to do it. On the agency side, look, it's fun. It's I've done this before. We've, you know, with partnering up with Web Profits, a company. So Web Profits Australia has a 100-person team, and they do, you know, they've been doing design because Australia is a small market. In order to grow as a business, they had to do everything. They had to become a full service agency, and so I purposely partnered up with this, you know, this awesome company, and one of, you know, I think the best company I could find. That aligns with my vision of like Alex, there, you know, the co-founder of that company, or Web Profits AU, and me, like we have, like, we are almost like the same person. But then there's the other partner, which is Paul, who is the managing director, the COO, like he's the glue of like how operations happens. We are lots of ideas and we're great creative. Like we're the good, like we're the VP of marketing, but you know, Paul is that glue that kind of makes sure everything runs properly. Like we don't have to deal with, I don't have to deal with a lot of other things, but we also have a badass team that can do like design, CRO. And so what we do that's a bit unique is we do this new service called Fluid Marketing. And Fluid Marketing is essentially a client comes, we work in 90-day sprints, and we do, we have a set retainer, a budget with the client. Let's say, oh, it's a 10 grand, 20 grand a month client or contract. We take that 20 grand and say, okay, we're going to divvy up like 5K to content marketing, 5K to paid, 5K to CRO. And we're going to do this and that social media. And for that 90 days, that's what we're going to do. In the next 90 days, we'll plan what to do. And it'll very much be a dynamic engagement that will, deliverables will change. But what ends up happening when we do that is, we just get really good results, and because we can start with like advertising, which, you know, we can get quick wins, and then while we build up SEO, which, you know, we all know takes forever and some these days, we kind of get the best of both worlds.
Totally. So really you focus down hard. It sounds like you've done that. Have you always done that with your businesses? What I'm really curious about is, you know, your first agency, you know, Single Grain, which I know you sold a few years ago. You know, what was really like the catalyst for, like, what do you contribute that, you know, success to, and how has that, you know, kind of gone on, and what are you replicating with Web Profits?
Yeah. So, what worked there for us was, I mean, in terms of like service deliverability or like the business in general?
The business in general.
Yeah. So, I mean, what worked with us was like one, building a passionate team, like people that are hungry, again, like that mantra. We didn't have account managers, so it was like myself, Eric, Sue, who's now like running the show, and a couple other guys who just like, we were the strategists. We were like we were doing, you know, we were making sure things got done right. We were like being pretty hands-on most of the time. So that worked really well, or helped a lot. And then as a business, we, you know, I feel like a lot of marketing agencies struggle with this, which is you're an agency, you're in the business of marketing. So you have to build leads, you have to build a sales funnel and all that stuff. And so we did, we partnered with, you know, we were partnering agency with Neil Patel for a bit. We figured out LinkedIn ads pretty early compared to a lot of other agencies. Like that was kind of an open market for us. We had referral networks. So like we knew like our biggest lead sources came from referrals.
Yep.
Referrals of people in our network as well as other clients. And so when it comes to clients, like we just, our job was not just to keep the contract and keep them, get results. It was to like, what can we do to this client that was going to help them like get us more result, more business. And then with referrals, it was guys like Heath and Shaw, Dan Martell, Stu Langle, you know, Stu Langle, who's who's our good friend now. Stu worked at Intuit. I think he was a part of the Mint team before that, before the Intuit acquired them. Like Stu and I are good friends. Like he and I are actually working on some client work together. And so, you know, it's just building those relationships. And so when I figured out, like, it took me a while to figure out that like networking, not networking per se, but like relationships in general were the key driving factor of the business's growth. You know, this year we're doubling down. Like I literally am in the fifth week of a 5-week kind of travel, I guess like speaker tour, whatever you want to call it. Like I've
marathon. Yeah.
Yeah. Marathon. I don't know.
All over the world.
A while ago, I thought it was a good idea to travel like back, like lump all my conferences in one kind of month or like back to back. I'm definitely tired. But anyways, the good news out of this is like my value and what I'm really good at is like, I like helping people and I like to share what I know. And so I, you know, speaking at conferences, like the biggest value for me is not even speaking at conferences and sharing that. That's like, that's great. That makes me feel good. I get excited and it's motivating, but it's connecting with other speakers. When every location I go to, I throw dinners and there's not like, oh, I want to do a sales dinner. I'm just doing a dinner with other smart, cool people. I just got back from Ottawa and a friend of mine who lives there, he's like, hey, I connected with him on Slack. And so Slack has been a great way to like keep relationships, but he's like, hey, I'm in Ottawa. Another guy, Chris Grimmer from Snappa, he's like, I'm in Ottawa. Like, hey guys, like, do you know any other people I should meet? Like no agenda. Like I just want to meet cool, smart entrepreneurs. And so Dan Gold, like he literally set up like 20, 30 meetings for me. And it, wow. Again, and we ended up having to merge it into like a couple like group coffee meetings and whatnot because we didn't have the time. But the short of this was that
all that caffeine.
Yeah, well, I had to switch to like hot water and tea. But yeah, you know, I connected with just like 20 smart people, and what came out of that is like more relationships. And I know like 6 months from now, that's going to turn into some sort of business. And even if not, like 2 years, 5 years from now, that's going to net out something.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I was actually listening to a video today. The foundation is doing like a bootstrap software summit. The videos are just absolutely incredible. And was listening to one with the founder of ConvertKit, and he's basically
Barry, exactly.
And he was talking about basically like talking about, you know, word of mouth, building like word of mouth and referrals and that sort of thing. It was basically like everyone says you can do it. No one really knows how to do it, but you know how you do it is by building relationships. And it sounds like, you know, you've kind of cracked that nut on, you know, on that, but it's not about, you know, cracking the nut and saying, you know, and using other people for your own gain, but rather, you know, I genuinely am interested in people, genuinely want to help people. And that comes back, you know, tenfold, but that's not why I'm doing it necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Heath and Shaw says the same thing. It's like helping people is his biggest like strategy. And like, I literally am, and that's like, the mantra, like I remember Heathen had this, like, I've like I have like hundreds of email exchanges with Ethan over the years, and he had this like email signature from like Zig Ziglar. It's like, you can get everything you want if you help others get what they want. And I'm butchering the quote, but like, you know, like when I finally like started really living that, oh man, like I've like tripled my income. Like it was actually in 2000, I think it was either 2014 or 15 when I just started saying, screw it, I'm just gonna go help people and I don't really care. And it was because I lived in like frozen Minnesota for a year and I had nothing to do.
Right.
So there's that, that it worked out.
Yeah. So let's talk about that real quick. You were running your agency in San Francisco, decided to get out of that, sold it, went back in house for a year, and then went and did your own thing for a little bit. And now you're doing web profits again. What spurred that, that move back in house?
Yeah. So, I got rusty, to be honest. I got pretty like rusty. I had an executive, like when I was the last years of Single Grain and my agency, I had an executive assistant. I had a big team. Like I wasn't that hands-on. I was hands-on in the strategy of like, here's what we're going to do. But look, you know, from how fast the SEO world, the digital marketing world moves, like I was not cutting edge enough. And so I wanted to join an agency. I wanted to go back in-house to go back and like live the problem I was solving, right? So like, you know, as an agency, you're working with in-house marketers, or you're working on somebody's things. As an in-house marketer, you're working on a company like very hands-on and in-depth. So I had two missions or two big, objectives in 2014. It was one, to like become cutting edge again, and not just figure out like what's the next best thing, but figure out a way to consistently do that to where I never have that problem again, right? And so why I share everything I know, it's a little selfish. It's because when I can share and teach people things, that means I've excelled at it to the point where I have to master it to teach it, right? And so if I'm teaching new things all the time, that means I have to know even more. So that's one part of it, was to like never be rusty again. And number two is, as a, you know, what I was for the first, you know, I guess like 10 years of my career, was a top of the funnel marketer. I knew how to get traffic. I knew how to do a bit of optimization, CRO, landing page, like quick and dirty stuff to convert it. I knew how to do some email marketing, but that's about it. Now, you know, I spent actually 2 years when I work in-house, but over those 2 years, what I learned was I'm not just doing top of the funnel stuff. I'm doing customer retention, customer marketing. So like customer success, the referral marketing, the whole funnel, really in-depth CRO initiatives, onboarding, like activation, retention type things. Yep. And so I wanted to do that. And also the last part of this was like, I wanted to get really good at the product marketing. And because as a marketer, you're really, usually you have the least exposure to that. But now like, you can't just be a top of the funnel marketer, or you can't do top of the funnel marketing at work. You have to go and do product marketing, because that's where you get the virality. That's where you get, I mean, again, like Nathan says, nobody has really cracked exactly the method. Like you can say like, oh, Airbnb does this, and you know, Dropbox does this, you know, Microsoft with Hotmail did this, but like, those are freaking decade old examples. There's not like a one size fits all. Like you can't just copy and get it. You have to figure out what it is. Every company is unique, but anyways, long story short, that was my two big objectives. And why when I work, why Minnesota? Well, they were a client of mine. I knew exactly how they grew to where they were. And I love the team. The CEO was a product guy. So I was like, hey, Chad, who's the CEO there, and that we're good friends now. It's like, hey, I want to learn everything you know about product. And then like, my wife was in getting her MBA at the time. So she was in LA, and you know, so we had to do this long distance thing. I was in Minnesota by myself. And at first I just started doing like, I started every weekend, like going skydiving, racing car, like motorcycles, and like, and funny enough, like I stopped racing motorcycles because I kept getting beat like on the racetrack by like 16 or 17 year old girls. because they were just like super fearless, lightweight, nimble, whatever. But I was like, crap, this is very ego bruising. And I'm like, I said, you know, made a lot of friends, started, you know, going out drinking and having fun. But like, fuck, this is not at all productive at all, right? So I was like, you know what? I got to do something more productive. Let me go back to kind of why I did this. And so that's where ContentMarketer.io came from. That's where Narrow came from. I just got really hungry. I had a lot of time on my hands. I'm not saying time like work hours. I'm saying, what do you do when you go home at 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock? And
Right. And your wife lives half the country away.
Yeah. And she's busy in like at 6 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock in LA. She's in class. So like, you know, like you're, so like I literally had 4 hours a day to fill. And the way I filled it was like networking with people, doing phone calls, building my personal brand, and literally like every day after day, again, connecting with people and figuring out a way. It was at the early days, it was figuring out a way to do something and what can I do? And the first kind of manifestation or kind of project was 100 Days of Growth, the ebook that that Rob Warmly and I created. And yeah, and then it was like, okay, I need to build a brand, need to build an audience, need to build an email list. And that was it. And then from there, I ended up running into, because I was really hungry and aggressive, I ran into Jared, who at the time worked at Lead Pages, and he had built this tiny little thing called Narrow. And then I liked it. And so we decided to get involved. Same kind of month, I met Colin over the internet. And I flew out to Indianapolis one weekend, and I was like, hey, look, love what you've done with this little product he built. I was like, that's cool, but let's go build something better together. And that's where Content Marketer came to be. Crazy enough, I did two at the same time, and I liked it. And so, yeah, then I was like, well, why not a few more if they're in the same industry? That's
right. Right. Totally makes sense. They're all in together. Cool. So let's start wrapping this thing up. I'm going to be considerate of your time for taking time out of your day. So second to last question I have for you is, looking back, you know, over the 10 years that you've been, you know, 10 plus years maybe that you've been doing marketing, building your own businesses, that sort of thing, what are two things that you would have done differently, you know, looking back now? What are some things that you should not have done?
Yeah.
Or that you wish you had done?
Look, one thing I shouldn't have done is like just try to do everything. And I saw other people doing things and I try to do it, and that was a bad idea, waste of time for the most part, because it didn't let me focus. And so I wish I started, you know, really networking or building relationships much, much earlier in my career, with intentionally building relationships, and also, like whether that's helping people or whatever, and also like blogging earlier. I mean, like if you look at like Neil Patel or like even Gary Vee, right? Like it's all about time. Like whatever they did to build their audience back in 2008, 2006, whatever, that worked. And right now they're sitting high up with this big audience, and no matter what other people do, it's just way more competitive, and they're already influencers. And so like it's all a time game. And I wish I just started earlier doing these things.
So can you give me you said that you wish you hadn't just gone and tried to do all the things. Like what were you trying to do, you know, that did not allow you to focus?
Yeah, I mean, so I remember in 2006, I was like, oh, I see all these people building. I remember watching like Rand Fishkin speak and a few other guys. I don't even remember their name. They were speaking at conferences. They like, you know, what they were doing to build agents, their agencies. And this is like back when like SEO Moz or Moz was an agency.
Yep.
I was trying to do what they were doing. And instead of trying to do what others were doing, I should have just focused on how can I do the best for me. Right. And so when I started doing that, it worked out really, really well. And it comes down to not try to be everywhere, not trying to like try to do everything. And some of these things are, I'm being vague, but you know, sometimes it was like, you know, spending a week trying to do some SEO hack or trying to do link building for myself. I should have just built a blog, and that would have earned way more links than, you know, than whatever brute force link building I could have done.
Right. Gotcha. So it sounds like you learned the lesson about, you know, building something, building an asset, which I think is something a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, are finally starting to, you know, to think about where, especially with the, you know, the digital nomad culture and that, you know, and that sort of thing. And I'm an unabashed, you know, Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Workweek fan. But, you know, building assets as opposed to like, you know, finding these one-off hacks or whatever, because people are learning, like even with SEO, right? Think back 2009, 2010. You know, there were so many things you could do to really game the system, you know, and you could build huge businesses off of like, you know, 90% organic traffic, but, you know, and you still could, I guess. But, you know, as you said, when we were talking beforehand, like it takes, you know, SEO takes forever now. Right. So, you know, these little like hacks and stuff, like, sure, you can find them on new platforms and whatever, but, you know, they're not sustainable. They're not going to build a career.
Yep, exactly. And yeah, it's all about sustainability. It's not about quick hacks. Like if you're building an agency, like you already know, like it's not like one client doesn't do the trick. It's five. It's building the business. It's then getting yourself out of the weeds and like building processes and all that stuff. So it's never the 6-month play, because if you always go with the short term or like the 6-month or what's going to get me this year, you probably will achieve it, but then the industry will fly by. And so what's next?
Right. Totally. Cool. So final question that I have for you, and I'm really interested to hear your answer on this because you've done it a few times. You know, now you've worked in-house, you started your own agency and sold it. You went back in-house for a couple years. Now you have Sujitsu Ventures and you have like 6 SaaS products. You're partnered up on Web Profits. You're growing that into a big agency. At this point, what would it take to get you to go back and work for someone else again?
Like in the next like probably 2-3 years, I can't. Like, doesn't matter how or why. I just wouldn't be able to do it because I have too many, like I have too many commitments, right? And so, sure. It just wouldn't do nothing. I guess long term, I think exciting opportunities. What I've learned is, I don't think anyone has anything figured out. Like, you know, when you're a kid, like, oh, my parents had everything figured out. Like these guys, have everything figured out. When you become an adult, like, oh wait. Oh, you don't need to have everything figured out. So I think I'm just kind of okay rolling with the punches. And like, you know, I'm okay if I were to be an EIR at a VC firm. I'm okay if I were to be, you know, VP marketing CMO or like even like random special projects at like a company. Whatever it is, as long as I'm passionate about it and it's something I can do, I also have to make sure it's the right move and not just short-term revenue. So like, short-term like salary or bonuses and crap like that wouldn't motivate me because, you know, I know like there's going to be a half-life to it. And so I'm always looking at like, what's next to make sure that fits.
Totally. Love it. Awesome. Well, Sujin, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day before another speaking gig. I know coming up here in a couple of days for you from the time this is recorded. So good luck on that, and thank you so much for the time and all of the wealth of knowledge that you've shared here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great catching up.
Awesome, man. We'll speak with you soon.
All right, take care.